I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
More as a Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brookin and Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, a West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is More Than Just a Podcast.
Podcast.
Better late than never. Season 7, episode 11. And who have we got tonight? We're recording quite late, but I believe we have Nigel.
I'm here.
Where are you, Nigel?
I'm in my shed.
Great. I think that joke's running off
is
now.
It's not warming for me yet.
Live from the Outer Hebrides, we have George.
Hello.
Where are you, George?
I'm in my bed.
Are you really?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
And also, way past his bedtime, the oldest actually member of the podcast in his 50s is John. Where are you, John?
I'm in my loft on my bed.
Yeah, and you, we have a name when we join here, and yours is Ready for Bed.
There you go.
So, where did we start? We had a game of football. Did anyone go up Burnley?
No.
No.
Okay, who watched it?
Me.
Let's start with you then, Nigel. I watched it as well, but let's start with you, Nigel. What happened?
We drew 1-1.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, we scored, and then Burnley scored late on, and the game was a draw.
It was a Route 1. Great. That's a great analysis.
You don't need stat attack now. I'll tell you, I've done it.
It was a long ball that Sam Allardyce would have been very proud of. Great assist for Joe Hart if you had him in your dream team.
Defensive clearance that luckily broke our way. It was a good goal. He took it well, didn't he? Went round the keeper, slotted it in.
Yeah.
And then that was it, really. Well, no, that's a bit harsh. I thought we did play well. We attacked well, even when we were down to 10 men. We still had chances to increase our lead. Obviously, it was difficult after, you know.
Let's talk about it. It's the elephant in the room. Let's get it out. Let's talk about your view of the whole incident, the first yellow and 90 seconds later, the next yellow.
You know, when you jump, it's hard because when you jump, your natural is to put your arms up. But surely they know now you can't lead with your elbows. And you could say it's harsh because he never looked at either player once. So it's not like he's gone in to do the player. He's just jumped. But when you lead with your elbow, the second one, the first one is a bit harsh, but the second one, I think could have been a straight red.
Yeah, me too.
He pointed his elbow. You got to jump more with your forearms out than with your elbow pointed. And as soon as you jump with a pointed elbow, you ask him for trouble if it connects.
It was almost like he did that second one out of frustration for the booking in the first one, I thought.
Yeah.
It's not what we expect out of someone on 85 grand a week, though.
And, well, money's got nothing to do with it. It's nothing to do with it. He could be on 150 grand a week. He could be on 10 grand a week. You know how to jump, and you know you can't jump in like that.
But he's got the grace of a horse. He just his arms flail everywhere when he jumps up. He's done this before. He got sent off. Where was it? Against Swansea, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that was a flailing arm, wasn't it? And to be fair, yeah. he brushed the geezer's ponytail that day. Geezer, wasn't it? And he went down like a dying duck. So that was a bit of an arse sending off. But, you know, it's Saturday, I don't think we can grumble with the sending off. And quite why he was pointing to his head saying, ref, I headed the ball.
All right, let's did Slaven Bilic get his lineup right to begin with? Should Andy of Carroll have started? He'd already had two yellows this season. He'd given away two goals, lost us a number of points. Is he the only person who sees something in Andy Carroll that he should be starting every game no matter what his fault?
No, I won't blame Bilic for the team that he picked. He works with these players. He sets the system up. It's obviously he prefers Carroll, isn't it? That it's his job on the line, not ours.
In it, blood, bruv. We're not on Arsenal TV now. all right, let's have a little bit of a different. George, you watched some of it.
I did. I think I agree with what Nigel said about the sending off. I didn't see all of it. But from what I gather, you know, we put in a fairly good performance, especially after the sending off. And, you know, if we'd have had 11 men on that pitch, I reckon we'd have secured that 3 points. But we take the draw, I think. It's not the worst result in the world, especially with 10 men for so long in the game. So,
why didn't you watch all of it? Didn't you know we had a podcast on Monday?
I knew we had a podcast on Monday, but I had other things going on Saturday, so I watched some of it.
Do you want to share that with our listeners? What was more important than your analysis of the podcast?
I was just doing stuff, getting my hair cut, that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, I watched some of it.
Dedication. Yeah. What did you see then from the game? Did you see the second half or you sort of in and
out? I saw bit in and out throughout the game, but funnily enough, every time I turned it on, a goal seemed to be scored, so I saw both the goals.
Oh. Well, let's talk about the second goal. You know, typical West Ham. If you'd have asked us before, you'd said, yeah, I would have accepted the point. But after leading for 85 minutes on 10 men, not leading for 85 minutes, but still leading 85 minutes, you thought, ah, we might nick a 3 points here. Da, da, da. In comes Sod's Law against West Ham saying, no, let's concede a goal.
In comes Sod's Law.
Yeah. Do you think they deserved the point, Burnley?
I probably didn't see enough of them to give an opinion on that, to be honest. But I think, by all accounts, we could have won and maybe could have held on, as I said, if we'd had a full team out.
Can we blame anyone? Was it Cresswell that should have got close to it? I can't remember. Or was it Reed? I can't remember. I'm trying to remember their goal and whether.
Did you watch the game, Sean?
I did watch the game. I'm just trying to remember. Can you help me here, Nigel? Or John?
Yeah, Burnley scored. Edda. Cross. The geezer beat Cresswell.
Easily.
It was Cresswell.
Crossed the ball and the geezer headed it.
John, I know you started watching from 63 minutes because you told us.
Yeah.
Did you have something better to do? Did you know we had a podcast on Monday?
I was working, actually. But
Oh, were you?
And then when I tried to get it up and running, I couldn't get it up and running. So, yeah, I could have watched it from half time, but by the time I got it going, it was about 60 minutes, something like that. So, yeah, from what I saw...
You didn't miss much.
No, but I mean, from what I've seen, I've seen the sending off, I've seen our goal, I've seen our performance up until they conceded. I thought we defended really well. I thought we were doing well, considering we were down to 9 men. I thought it was a spirited performance. I think Carroll was just an idiot. He's just stupid what he did. And I agree, the second thing on its own could have been a red card. Having got that yellow card for the first thing, he should have just kept his head down and got sort of eased himself back in the game. But he was just stupid. Cost us the game, I think. And
Creswell, first time even.
I mean, Creswell was pretty awful to let that cross in. Because I said to you on the group, didn't I? Stop the cross. Yeah. And it was absolutely just a typical West Ham thing, wasn't it? But we got the draw, we take the point, and it was a spirited performance. And it was sort of come away after watching that, feeling a bit better than you know, after the last few games, we've got a bit of a spirited team spirit going on and a bit of spirited game. And I know you keep shouting for Sacco, so you're going to get him.
Where are we?
Well, I mean, that's what I was about to move on. You know, Masuaku, did he, you know, with his form at the moment, did he deserve to start? Sacco, with his three goals this season, one assist. He also got a goal for Senegal. Senegal. He's got the form, you know. Chicharito, you know, when he's played in the proposition in Mexico in the international, Fox in the box, guess what? He scored. Slaven Bilic, did you watch that?
I don't think, you know, I didn't disagree with him being taken off because I thought it was a good idea to get fresh legs up there and chase the ball down from the front. And I think he needs to reel it in a bit of his little bit of attitude, the way he comes off the pitch, you know.
Shocking.
It's not all about him. It's not all about him.
Oh, really? Really? You got a problem with...
disrespectful.
Did he throw a hissy fit?
He just shook his head
looked in his hands like, oh, why are you taking me off? I'm the best player on the pitch, kind of thing.
It must be frustrating for him, though, especially as he's being played out of position.
Was it a 4-4-2? I know you didn't watch it from the beginning, so I won't ask you, John, or was it a 4-4-2?
Well,
he claimed it was a 4-4-2, Nigel.
Looked it to me. It was a bit hard. It looked it to you. 27 minutes and Carroll sent off.
Yeah, I know, but for the first 27 minutes. The shape didn't look a 4-4-2 to me.
What did it look like then? Bang on too much about formations and everything else. There was 11 players on the pitch. There was four defenders, four midfielders and two attackers. Tell me that that was lined up then.
Well, I think again, you didn't have just two strikers up front. You sort of Chicharito is just off Andy Carroll and is a bit back a bit.
But that's how it always used to get done at times. Cotty played off of McAvaney or Dave Swindlers when he first started. You go all the way back when David Cross played. He played a bit with Pop Robson. They never play. You always had the big one up front and the little one playing off of him.
Well, I for one am very excited about seeing Chicharito and Sacco start. We did a Clarence Hugh poll this week and I think like 87% we asked whether you wanted Chicharito up front on his own or AU or Antonio and all the different combinations. 86% wanted Chicharito. Yeah,
you know, you can run as many polls as you want, but there's a man called Slaven Bilic who makes a decision.
I know he does, but he can be swayed because at the Swansea game, when we all sung for Lanzini, he quickly pointed to Lanzini and said, get changed to get on. So maybe he can be swayed by public
opinion.
He could have had
that decision already made.
Or he was bringing him on anyway.
He might have done. He did say, by the way, I'm not here to be popular. I don't know if you saw an interview. He did say, I'm not here to be popular. I don't mind the boo boys. I do what's best for West Ham.
I reckon he's going to play Obiang Kiati and push Lanzini forward a bit and stick Chicharito on his own.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We know on Friday. Anyway, little stat attack.
What about Arnautovic? Is he going to keep his place?
Well, I my view on this, I'd play Masuaku on the left wing personally.
And kept the £24 million. That's what I'd have done.
Yeah. I don't know really what he's bought yet, but you know, beyond £24 million of instalments and a red card.
And then
more of that later. West Ham possession 38%. Obviously, that meant Burnley had 62%. This is a telling tale. West Ham 8 shots, 6 on target. The Clarets 20 shots. I'll repeat that: 20 shots, 5 on target. So maybe shots on target was a bit even, but they had 12 more shots. I don't know where they were. I must have missed a lot of them. But yeah,
they weren't on target, were they?
They weren't on target. Well,
if Antonio had scored that goal at the end of that move, that interplay between him and Lanzini and Hernandez, that would have been goal of the season, I reckon.
Yeah. Anyway, no use crying over spilt milk. Respect the point, as Sam Allardyce used to say.
Your favourite.
Do you know what? There's not a lot between us. I mean, on the in the table now, because We're on 8 points. Five other teams are on 8 points. Three teams on 9 points. A win on Friday would put us 10th. We're 15th at the moment. We'd jump up to 10th with just a win.
There you go.
For a few hours.
Well, it depends on other results on Saturday. But yeah, we would jump up to 10th place.
But will they have any bitter in the ground? We'll see.
Will they what?
Will they have any bitter in the ground? We'll see.
Only
yes, that's only exciting.
Bitter fans. Billy Charter will be going.
What formation are you playing?
Anyway, it's time to say sure. Let's do what the gaffer had to see.
Slaven, a goal up for so long, but a man down for so long. So how do you view that point?
Well, it's a bit of a mixed emotions. I have to praise the guys because we got a point and we played for so long with 10 men and we had really some good periods of the game, even when we were with one man down, like first 15 minutes in the second half when we had a couple of really good chances, you know. And it's hard to stop them to cross the ball from good areas. They were putting the bodies up and we defended the most of those crosses really well. But then the last one or that one before the goal, we didn't mark them well. And but we played good, and especially when we were 11 against 11, we were really, I would say, dominant in the game, and we were very, very dangerous. So it's we have expected that, especially now that we have the most of the squad back, and not only back but also fit. And so I'm quite pleased with the performance, with everything, with fitness, with work rate, with teamwork, and with and also with the quality.
Obviously, you're delighted to have everyone back from injury, but now frustrated to lose Andy Carroll after two yellow cards in less than 2 minutes. What was your take on that?
Well, of course, I'm angry and everything. I mean, he's very experienced players, and it's it wasn't deliberate and all that, but the player of his experience, you can't do that two times in a couple of minutes, and especially when you play away, it is very likely that you're going to get minimum yellow card, and that's what happened very early in the game. And after that, it was, we knew it's going to be very, very hard, but we defended well, and we were so close, you know, to get all 3 points.
What about the points that your side have got recently, the performances that you've got from them recently? Are you pleased that the team is on the up after a difficult start to the campaign?
Well, we knew we were going to have a difficult start, not only because we played first three games, we played three away games, but more than that, we were playing without three or four very important players for us, especially if we are talking about the players who are game changers when we have a ball. So now, with Lanzini back, with Arnautovic back, with Michael Antonio getting into his really good fitness, because he had a long break as well, it is looking much better, and we are looking really forward with a lot of optimism. If we continue to work like this and to play like this, then we should get more points, many points.
Well done today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
What do you think about that then, John?
Well, I agree with him.
You always agree with him because you never know what he says.
Well, he's picking up on the, you know, he's disappointed with Carroll. He doesn't back him.
He was angry with Carroll.
Accepts that they were bookable offences and he should know better. But he can see the positives from the performance and the result. So I agree with him.
Good. All right. Well, we're going to talk about red cards now, because I don't know if you saw, but the Daily Mirror ran a story today on Monday saying Andy Carroll been fined £190,000 for the red card, which is untrue. And the reason I know that is I made inquiries with a senior source to find out what does happen. And in reality, because I couldn't see, right, they were saying that Carroll been fined 2 weeks' wages. I can't imagine the PFA putting up with that and saying, Yeah. Just fine anyone. If you don't like what they did, just fine them.
Everyone. No, that is a. I think that's a limit that can.
It's a limit you can be fined for discipline. But this isn't a discipline thing. Or if they went able or something.
Is it not ill-discipline being sent off?
It is ill-discipline, but there are automatic fines within each West Ham player contract. And that is, if you get two yellow cards in a game, right, and it's not rescinded or appealed, it's half a week's wages. In the case of Andy Carroll, he earns £85,000 a week basic. So his automatic fine by the club is £42,500. If you get a straight red, and I think Arnautovic got a straight red, if I remember rightly, was it?
Yep.
It's 1 week's wages. I don't know what Arnautovic is on. Is he on about 80 grand? So you got an 80 grand.
Probably on about 200 grand a week. Something like.
No, I think he's on about 80 grand. So, match. Did you see the stat from Match of the Day where they said that Slaven Bilic has had got the most red cards? He's had 12 league red cards since he took over in 2015, and another four in three in Europa and one in FA Cup.
Yeah, but how many of them have been rescinded?
Four. So I'll quickly tell you what they are. Adrian, 92 minutes. Jenkinson, Noble. This was in 2015. Followed by Collins against Watford. Chioti against Palace. That one definitely was rescinded. Europa League, it was Sacco on 15 minutes. Then Tompkins on 45 minutes. And then Collins against Astra. And then if we move to the FA Cup, Chioti again. Rescinded after 75 minutes. And then we go to the next season. Cresswell against Palace. Reed against Spurs. Fuguli, 15 minutes later, rescinded against Manchester United. Antonio against Watford, if you remember that one, on 86 minutes. And then Sam Byram against Sunderland, 95 minutes. And bringing it right up to date this season, we've obviously had two. Against Southampton, Arnautovic after 32 minutes. And Carroll after 29 minutes against Burnley. Is there a pattern? Are we worse than anyone else with our discipline? Or is it just a stat that Match of the Day brought up? Nigel?
Just a stat that Match of the Day brought up. Who cares?
You don't think we're any worse than anyone else?
Really interesting minute.
I know you're going to say different, but no. But obviously, the Match of the Day stat, I think we were about four or five clear of the next team, were we not?
Yeah. Yeah, we were.
Right. But then again, four of ours have been rescinded. So how do they stand up as red cards?
Well,
so they're wrong straight away.
Well, they are, but we'd still be at the top. Do we get... All right, let me ask this question.
Top. We'd still be near the top.
We'd still... Well, will we be second or first? Is it that we get a rough time from referees?
Yeah.
Or is it we've got bad discipline under...
It's the referees.
Under slab.
Blame the refs.
It's just the way it goes, isn't it?
Always blame the refs.
Okay, well, I'm going to move on to a second point. And that is... We can't hold on to a bloody result at the end of the game. So I had a look. Obviously, Burnley, we were about to get 3 points, last 5 minutes. So I had a look at the last 5 minutes in the whole of 2017. And would it shock you to know we've lost 10 points in 2017 in the last 5 minutes?
Wow.
Shocking.
94th minute against West Brom, 2 points lost. Bournemouth, King scored his hat-trick on the 90th minute, 1 point lost. Hull City, 85th minute against the Tigers. And that was in April. Sunderland, they scored in the 90th minute to make it 2-2. Southampton, Austin scored 93rd minute. And obviously Burnley, Wood scores in the 85th minute. 85th minute, 2 points lost. Is that concentration? Is that something to do with Slaven Bilic? Or is that something to do with... We just our team loses its focus in the last 5 minutes.
Probably,
again, I think that's worse.
Probably
than
because it. Probably because we've got a 100-year-old fitness coach, innit?
He's a handball expert, isn't he? He's like 69 years old or something.
I don't know.
Perhaps I only play for 80 minutes handball.
Yeah,
it is a concerning stat, that one. I hadn't noticed that before. Right. And I think it does. I mean, you've got to point the finger at someone there for not drilling it into them that they've either got to stay concentrating properly for those last 10 minutes or be fit enough to deal with the pressure that you're going to get.
So do you genuinely think it's fitness?
I don't know what it is, or concentration or whatever.
I've got a stat for you.
Go on then.
Right, in 1993-94,
yeah.
West Ham conceded 63 goals. In the biggest 15-minute block was the last 15 minutes where they conceded 16 goals, which was more than any other 15 block. So actually, it's the West Ham way, isn't it? We've always done like that. We've always conceded late goals. This is a league. I just found this. I just picked it up and I see it. And because I actually read the running order for a change, I knew you was going to bring up this stat. It just said, well, we've always been that way. This is 25 years ago. And we were conceding late minute goals.
That's all right.
There you go. So it's not Slaven Bilic's fault. It's
no,
damn
it's not
well.
Slaven's fault. It's just the way it is.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Excellent. I'm going to move on to something I know that is something dear to Nigel's heart, but I wrote an article for West Ham Till I Die on Sunday as part of my Sunday column. I haven't written one for a while because they gave me a real hard time, Nigel, didn't they, after I wrote the last one about Slaven Bilic.
I did join in.
I wrote a Slaven Bilic article and the natives got a little bit restless. So I haven't been back for a few weeks. But I was really interested because, and I spoke to Nigel and I spoke to someone called Paul Christmas, who's on the committee of the West Ham or the Hammer Social Club or West Ham United Supporters Club. And I didn't know the history of the Supporters Club. And through Nigel and Paul, we found out it was founded in 1947. Just after the war, because no football was played up into 46, because they suspended all the league, and six guys founded it in a house in Wigston Road, which is where is that, Nigel?
Off Prince Regent's Lane, 813 Plaster.
And they wrote to the West Ham board and said, "We've set this up," and West Ham board said, "Well, we don't want anything to do with you. You get no special treatment. You get no special status. We don't need you." And then later on they said, "Do you mind if we call ourselves West Ham United Supporters Football Club?" And we went, "We don't care what you call yourself. It's got nothing to do with us." They moved to a school, and I'm trying to remember the name of the school.
Hartley Avenue.
Yeah. By their second annual dinner, I think they'd had 120 people having a gala dinner, and they were up to like 600 members. To cut a long story short, and you can go and read on West Ham Till I Die the story, but it wasn't till the late 50s where a chap called Tom Jenkinson, who was a local Labour MP whose family came from the Poplar Workhouse, formed a relationship with Reg Pratt, the West Ham chairman, and actually started raising money. And West Ham actually benefited from thousands of pounds of fundraising from supporters through the Supporters Club to rebuild a lot of the bomb-damaged stands and the East Stand and the West Stand and a lot of the terraces and improvements. On from there, 1958, Hammer of the Year was founded by the Supporters Club, taken over by the club now. And
stolen.
Stolen, if you want to call it. But of course, there's a story at the end of this and a sting in the tail, which is, you know, by they got a new lease in 1993, 99 year lease. They had their own building. Everything's looking rosy. At the last match of the bowling, they took £15,000 over the till. At the next game, Bournemouth, when they moved, you know, the West Ham moved away to the London Stadium, they took £21. And throughout last season, they were losing £7,000 a month until basically they went bust. But the situation's got even worse now because they've just got a new committee. They were just about to restart themselves and they did a health and safety audit and basically it's condemned. And now they're trying to raise money to £150,000 on top of, I think, £80,000 they should get from selling one of the flats to refurbish the place and try and open it again and also find a new premises at Stratford. You know, this is an institution. They would call it the second longest institution in West Ham because it's been going 70 years. But they want to keep the Castle Street premises and they want to get a new premises in Stratford. And you know, just today, that article's just been tweeted out by Anton Ferdinand, who says, come on, West Ham family, get behind it. I'm going to start with you, Nigel, because I know this is something close to your heart, the club itself. Is it worth saving the Castle Street premises? What can become of it? You know, do people actually want to go there to drink anymore?
I think if it's marketed the right way, people may want to use it. You know, the West Ham way functions at the East Ham Working Man's Club have shown that you can get fans to attend on a match day if organised correctly. The previous committee, in my opinion, had no interest whatsoever in saving that club. So the fact that the new committee, led by Paul and the others, have took it on board, to see what they've done, I think it does deserve being saved. You know, the club, you know, everybody knows the way I feel. The heart's been ripped out of the club with the move. A way of life has been destroyed that will never, ever come back. And this is literally the last link that the club has to the area. And if it can be kept and maintained and enjoyed for future generations, then all well and good. That's the way I see it. Perhaps I am clinging on to something that perhaps should be, when you look at the money needed, perhaps should be let go. But if it can be saved, I hope it really can be saved.
I think they're looking to do something like community hall for the, you know, the 800 flats are going to be in there. But in my view, they should sell the lease and use that money, because I think there's got a lot of value, to buy a new lease in Stratford and the future's in Stratford. So, I don't think you can run both. If you want something sustainable, you've got to sell one, have your memories and move all of the belongings in there, including the cups and the pictures and all the memorabilia they've collected over the years, and move it to a new home with a new lease.
Is it meaningless in the new place?
No.
I mean, I watched a programme the other night.
When you move house, is it meaningless? You move house. Well, you know, home is what you make it.
I don't know.
You never wanted to leave the bowling ground, so.
But no, I didn't. Is it different for me? I grew up in the area. My family had weddings in there when I was a kid. You know, so it's always been there.
You know what? Supporters didn't really care that much because they took £21 at the Bournemouth game. So it just shows you how fickle fans are, that no one wanted to support the club. It's like Woolworths. No one wanted to support it.
What it shows you is how little of a community of the West Ham true fans and that actually still live in the area. That's what it shows.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, John.
Yeah, but I don't live in the area now, do I? I mean, all right, I still go back there because my family still live in the area. I mean, not the Bournemouth game. I think the game after, I went in there. I made a point of going in there. And I walked out of there at 2 o'clock. I caught a bus. Funnily enough, I jumped on the wrong bus. And it took me the long way to Stratford via Canning Town. But I still got to the ground before kickoff.
Yeah, but we sort of did that ourselves, because we went a couple of games in after we'd moved and went back to the Black Line. and did the same sort of thing. We all went back to have a little taste of what it was like.
You only went once though, John.
Well, it just wasn't the same, was it? That's why.
And you just like, you know, I can understand why they'd want to keep it there if there's a community call for it in the area. If there's not a community call for it, I think they should put all their efforts into getting a proper established place at Stratford. And I think the club should fund it. I think the club should have some financial input in it as well, which I think is a disgrace that they've just left it.
If you look at the East Ham Working Men's Club, now there were stories going around the local area that they were in trouble and that they may close a few months ago. So you've got two buildings virtually doing the same thing. In that area, there's probably no need for two buildings. So if they could merge to become one, perhaps if the supporters club could do a deal, sell their lease, get a bit of money, then put a bit of money into perhaps doing up the East End Working Men's Club and join together as one, then I can see that working, because you don't need two community centres in that area, the people that use them. You know, I mean, I think people on the committee, the old members of the committee on the supporters club, are actually on the committee of the East End Working Men's Club as well. So in a way, when the West End moved, for me, there was a bit of a conflict of interest there. That these people had a foot in both camps, and only one's going to survive, and it's the one that can last the longest, basically.
Yeah, I mean, they've got an EGM, haven't they, coming up 5th of November or something,
apparently,
to decide on the future. John, what's your view on, you know, we never really went to the supporters club, but all four of us actually have become members now. Well, we're going to give it a go.
I did that just a while ago, just to throw some money at them. But there's also a part of me that hoped that they did get a venue near to New Stratford, and so we could have somewhere as a base for there. It would be if they had an established place at Stratford, and it was quite a large venue. I mean, it'd be rammed, because it is absolutely bereft of decent places to drink around Stratford.
Yeah. Well, they've got this place in Stour Place, isn't it?
Stour Road.
But it's called Stour Place, and it takes up to, I think, 250. Now, they told us, we're doing a bit of a Q&A on West Ham Till I Die last night with Paul Christmas, and he told us before they announced that they had 256 members. They've now doubled that, so one would think they've got over 500 members again. I think he said about 150 members turned up for the first event at Swansea. They did make a loss because they had some start-up fees, and Tower Hamlets insisted they have 6 security guards, which I think they're allowed to reduce. Are you going there for the Brighton game, chaps? Or
I am.
John?
Yeah, it depends on timings.
What's our plan? Well, we don't really know, do we?
Yeah, it just depends on timings, doesn't it? I mean, again, football's got moved around to Friday night and whatever. If it's
it opens at 4.
Yeah, and we are supporting it, and
they do food.
Yeah, I would love to. Now settle in there, that'd be great. You know, I'm all for it.
Good. Well, we've got the link. The story I wrote is linked on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/morethanjustapodcast. And also, you'll see a link to the fundraising, so the Just Giving page that's trying to raise 150 grand if you want to make a donation, or links on if you want to become a member for 10 quid. You can do it there. So good luck, Hammers Social Club, and hopefully they can survive. We'll do our small bit to promote and keep them going.
Hear, hear.
Right, moving on. West Ham under 23s against Man United. I'm sure all of you went on Sunday to the London Stadium, didn't you?
I'm surprised you didn't, actually. You were free, weren't
you? I was... I went somewhere else.
Where did you go, Sean?
I went to the West Ham Ladies to watch my first West Ham Ladies.
Senior sources.
Well, I got a lot of grief for this. I was free on Sunday and decided to just drive to Rush Green, as you do, along the M25 from my flat in Surrey, and just on the off chance. And I went
10 minutes from my house, and you don't even pop.
Well,
in
I
and
did
say
ring
hello.
You on my way there. I rung you, and you said I can't talk now. I was going to say,
yeah, I was in Plasto.
Yeah, I rung you on my way down as I was going after the over the Dartford or under the Dartford tunnel. I said to you, I gave you a ring, and you went, I can't talk now. And I was going to say, yeah. Why didn't you come down and watch the West Ham ladies? And I happened to bump in. Of all people I bumped into, I bumped into Jack Sullivan and David Sullivan.
What are the chances?
Senior at the game. What are the chances? There's only about 70 people watching the game. Always a bit of good fun. It was a lovely afternoon. Rush Green is quite a nice facility, actually. Not quite Premier League quality football, but enjoyable afternoon. All the best. And who turns up but Pedro Obiang. And I had a little chat with him, and I said to him, what are you doing down? He had two security guards, by the way, in case he got mobbed. And people were coming up to me going, who's that? I was going, it's Pedro Obiang. He went, who's that? Is he a West Ham player? And I went, yeah. Because the people who go there are just like women's football fans. They're not really football. West Ham fans. Is he
careful
he
what you say, Sean. Careful what you say.
I'm not saying anything beyond that. I found the whole I found it very enjoyable, and I suggest...
Really?
Yeah, I suggest that people go down because it's free for season ticket holders, free for Claret members, under-16s are free, and adults are £2. So they're playing Crystal Palace later this... at the end of this month. Why not go down to Rush Green and lend your support?
Why not?
There you go. And you might bump into... the Sullivans or a first team player or two.
Right. Support West Ham ladies.
So that's my plug for the West Ham ladies.
But don't play in West Ham.
But let's go back to the under-23s because, as you say, I did miss the under-23s. Martinez, first person to get a hat-trick at the London Stadium. Should he be given the chance in the first team with Andy Carroll being dropped, Nigel?
Yes.
Yeah? You would... put him on the bench for Friday.
Yeah, I've seen him. I went to the Swansea game. I think he got two that day. He does look like he could, or he deserves a run out. Perhaps coming on off the bench, give him 20 minutes, see what he can do. I always find under 23 games a bit difficult to judge how good a player he is, because the problem is when you play kids against people roughly the same age, it's not getting them ready for Premier League football where they go up against top class men. So the only way to know how good he is to put him in the first team and give him a run out and bring him in. So for me, he should be on the bench every game.
Yeah.
Whether he comes on or not, but he should be on the bench every game. But at least give him, in games where you think you can bring him on if you're winning 2-0 or if you're down 2-0, bring him on for even for 10 minutes. Let's see what he can do.
Yeah.
Otherwise, how do you know?
Yeah, George, John, do you agree?
Yeah,
bring him
absolutely.
On.
I mean, we're not exactly banging goals in for fun at the minute, and he is, so...
You're right. No, you're right. Wiley's got the confidence, bring him on.
Exactly. He's knocking on the door, isn't he? What about in a cup run? Give him a cup game.
I agree. Agree.
Sean, what's happening with Reece Oxford?
Reece Oxford, right, is, well, he can be bought. He hasn't been played yet, obviously. He had a few injury problems. But he is surplus to requirements with now Rice coming through and everything. And he is available to be sold for the right money.
You're joking.
Yep. No, I'm not joking. I'm being deadly serious. If the right bid comes in, he's available. £15 million and he's yours.
Shocking.
I'm just telling you, I'm just the messenger. I don't make the message.
So
that's an indictment of our youth.
Yeah, it's awful, isn't it? It's just why can we not manage a young player into our first team?
Well, I think they think Rice is better.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what about Rice and Oxford playing them?
Steady on there. Slow down there.
We're nothing with kids, wasn't it? Alan Hansen said.
Anyway, I think we've been there
before. Spend the money on a 34-year-old.
Yeah.
Sure.
If that happens, for me, they should tear up that Academy of Football logo by the side of the pitch and throw it in the bin.
Oh.
Because if that's what we're going to do...
Harsh words. It's a money-making business now, and if we can sell a few... And
really, having that let's logo. Be honest, we got that nickname by producing players and selling them on anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Good point, George. Let's talk about Nigel's interview series. And we'll give a little plug for his last one, because I don't think we've been on air since, with the Lou Macari interview. I really enjoyed that one, Nigel. You did upset a few people. You upset Phil Parks and Frank McAvenney.
No, you upset
nice
me.
One,
what do you mean?
Making stories, giving little snippets from Phil. Did you hear what he said? Oh, he said this. When Phil don't listen to all the interview, so you upset
no.
Phil Parks and his daughter, then you go and upset Frankie McAvenney.
Frank McAvenney. I tell you what, we didn't tell Frank McAvenney. Frank McAvenney called us on the Frank McAvenney. He knew we didn't have to ring him up. And
oh, we listened to the interview then.
No,
didn't
no, no. He read the story. He read the story I wrote.
There you go.
Oh,
but anyway,
I felt cheap and used.
Welcome to the world of journalism.
cheap and used is the whole way you could actually. Describe the whole of your output, Sean, on that website
of
yours.
I thank you. That's the best compliment you've given me all podcast.
That's up there with when I called him Gutter Press.
Yeah.
And he was so happy.
Our next victim is going to be Frankie Mac.
If he answers his phone,
he will do. He was doing the he was doing one of those because I was speaking to the security guy Nick at Rush Green on Sunday. He was doing the because he did the security on Friday night. He did one of those old boys thing.
Q&A things, yeah.
Yeah, the old story. So that's why he was in London over the weekend. But he's back now. So hopefully we can hear a Frankie Mac. We've asked him to talk slower for you so we can understand him afterwards.
I'll do the same.
Yeah, yeah. So we can understand both of you. One Glaswegian and another Cockney boy.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's time for this. Yes, it's Facebook, Twitter, question time. And have you got them up, George, or are you letting me do it all tonight?
I haven't got them up, but I can get them up if you want to talk amongst yourselves.
Well, I'll do the first one. Why are you bringing them up? D. McBride says, Andy Carroll was a little unlucky on his first yellow, but go for a second one like he did was pure idiocy. Lucky it was not a straight red. Hopefully we might get to see Hernandez and Sacco partnership up front. I also don't... I've got my glass in. I also don't...
Over?
Yeah, can you?
I also don't get a lot of hate. I'm hearing on the black kit, I like it. He likes the black kit?
Really?
Okay, it's not as good as some of the more classic style away kits, but it could have been far worse. Any comments on the kit?
Yeah, rubbish.
I like it.
Not fast.
Taffy Wallback says, not necessarily a question, but more of a comment. It will be good to hear some even-handed thoughts on the AC sending off. We already covered that. Most of the other podcasts I listen to tend to bash or have an ambivalence to West Ham, and I don't know why.
West Ham bashing is always...
What's that like? The general football podcast just concentrate mainly on the... You know, the Man Uniteds and Liverpools, and they just have sort of very little to say about West Ham teams at our level.
The only football podcast I listen to is more than just a podcast.
Good. Yeah.
I only listen to West Ham podcasts, but to be fair, one of them is like listening to Guardian readers talk about West Ham. I'm buzzed. It'd be Jesus.
Which one is that? Go on.
Is that more Shit Hammer Time, as I like to call it.
Oh, I like Stop Hammer Time.
Oh, don't. I only listen to it because I swear one day I will hear something funny. Because they laugh amongst themselves. And I'm thinking, I must be really dim because I do not get what you're on about, mate.
There you go.
I think you're a little unkind.
Yeah.
I like West Ham way as well without the music. But the music's
no, bad. The music's good. The music is good.
Anyway.
Paul Cole says, I thought we played better football when the Village idiot went off. Whilst AC has the odd good game, his impact on how we play is negative. Also, you can see Hernandez getting frustrated, especially by being dragged every week.
Dragged off, maybe.
Dragged off, yeah. Cool.
I think, yeah, no, I get that. Nick Harvey says, AC was incredibly stupid. A spell on the bench after suspension will do him good. Looking forward to seeing how Sacco and Chicharito link up. Obiang needs to start against Brighton.
True.
He did well, didn't he, when he came on?
Yeah, my best mate now.
Hick Chiderchi says, is there any case for Arthur to start wide left with Antonio wide right on Friday? Brighton will park the bus, so width could be the key.
There's a big case.
Yeah.
Lewis Erentrout says, can you find the stats of late goals we've conceded under Bilic? Well, Lewis, funny you should say that. Sean already did.
I did.
I knew we wouldn't hold on, 10 men or not. You have to see it out. Bilic's job is saved yet again because of Carroll's stupidity, and he gained a point.
He ain't going to be sacked.
Toby Fisher says, will Brighton game on Friday be a repeat of our last fixture, April 2012, when we smashed them 6-0?
Yes, it will.
Do we all remember that game?
Didn't Vaz take it over the kick? I actually missed the first three goals of that game.
Gary Prince says, what's Andy Carroll's goals to game ratio in, say, his last 40 matches? Can you name any strikers we should consider replacing him with?
Martinez.
I don't know, but I know Andy Carroll.
I like that Messi plays for Barcelona. Have you seen him?
Yeah.
No, that Ronaldo bloke's better.
Did you see the interview Andy Carroll did where he said, my game's not all about goals? And we go, well, that's good, because you haven't scored any lately.
No.
I didn't see that.
on the West Ham official website, he said, literally, a few days ago, he went, my game's not all about goals. Well, right, you're a striker, though, man.
So Newcastle's gone up for sale today. Maybe they will buy him back.
Why, hey, man. Anyway, that's it, isn't it?
Unless there's any on Twitter. Did you see any on Twitter?
I didn't, no.
No, I don't
think. I bet you didn't tweet it out, did you?
No, it does it automatically. It's clever stuff. That's it, Sean.
Yeah, so now just obviously predictions for Friday against Brighton and Hove Albion.
The Seagulls.
The Seagulls.
Seagulls.
Yeah, Seagulls. We have to be careful. No singing rude songs now.
Yeah. No homophobic
behaviour. None of that. No, if they're there, their boyfriends probably do know they're there. So we don't want no silly songs.
Yeah.
Just stop it. That is an official warning.
Dear Lord.
I'll tell you. West Ham United Independent Sports Association.
This has gone well, this podcast. We're in.
Yeah. Anyway, Nigel, your prediction for Friday.
Oh, we'll sing a few songs. I reckon 3-0 West Ham.
George.
6-0 West Ham.
John.
I'll say 1-0 Sacco.
I'll go 2-0 to West Ham. So we've all predicted a win. And we could be 10th by Christmas. Well, we could be 10th by sort of...
What is it? Christmas? It's not even November yet.
It's getting late.
Anyway, I have been Sean. George has been...
Christmas.
Nigel has been...
Curmudgeon.
And John has been
tired.
Thanks. Come on, you Irons.
Right, come on, you Irons.
Bye. Up the Emmers. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.